ABC Radio Australia.
You know, it was fantastic for him to make his debut earlier this year against the Scottish team in Eden Park. So that was very special for him and obviously his family and his village and all the people who support him and love him. And he then got injured, unfortunately, so he missed a fair chunk of the qualifiers. And then the opportunity to come back in to Dubai was really wonderful for him. And he's excited and to be selected to play in this decider is the icing on the cake and doesn't get any better than playing for your country in a World Cup qualifier. And he understands, as does everyone associated with the Samoan rugby and the Manu Samoa, how big this game is for the future of our game in Samoa.
So tell me, were the worst to happen and Samoa didn't qualify? Just how big a blow would it be?
You don't want to even think about the consequence of that. It would send Samoan rugby back at least 30, 40 years back to when they first had to qualify and weren't involved in the Rugby World Cup in 1987. That's how far back you got to think of having a Rugby World Cup without the Manu Samoa involved. And that would be a big blow for world rugby, and it would be a big blow for a very proud rugby nation in this part of the world.
Have you had a chance to speak to Nico over the last few days? And if so, what sense do you get of what the atmosphere is like within the squad? Do they feel under that kind of pressure?
I don't know if they're dwelling on it too much, but they're very cognizant of it. Absolutely recognize and appreciate what's at stake for Samoan rugby, and they just happen to be the young men who have the opportunity and the window to ensure that Samoan rugby is on an upward trajectory. I have talked to them and they're all very excited, and they've got a lot of confidence and faith in each other, and it is a good squad. You've got guys who played for the Wallabies for 60, 70 games, and they understand what it takes in the big time and this level, and the likes of Theo McFarlane and a lot of these professional athletes, you know, even Miracle Ailangi, who plays for Moana Pacific. You know, these guys are seasoned professionals now, so they know how to prepare for a game like this, and it doesn't get any bigger in terms of a challenge anyway, but these guys are ready for it, absolutely.
Do you have thoughts on what should be done to prevent Samoa from getting into this situation again? Because clearly they have the talent. The problem they have, of course, is getting all the players that they want when they want them.
When I was coaching the Manu in the 2003 World Cup, even going back that long, we were all championing and advocating and pushing for something to change. And I think we still believe that one of the solutions is having a professional Pacific Island team, whether it's a Samoan or Tonga team, aka Moana Pacifica, in Super Rugby. And that has happened. Players coming through that pathway, keeping players in this part of the world, always having the right windows to be released. And there is some positives that we can see, but it's going to take a lot more than just having a professional rugby team where pathways can ensure Samoa and Tongan players are released and find their way into the national teams of these unique and very special rugby nations. Fiji seems to be bolting along, and they've got the draw. They've got a lot of world rugby backing. I am concerned that Samoan Tonga continues to get left behind, and, you know, we've got to find the solutions as Pacific people. You know, we've got to dream it, we've got to develop it and design it and do it, and that's what we've done forever and a day. But we'd love to see more support from the higher echelons of our game and decision-making tables, and there needs to be another review and analysis into what are all these contributing factors that are holding us back. I make no bones about it, I've been trying to work on this myself. There's a lot of other passionate Pacific rugby people have, but it's frustrating, and you sometimes feel like you're hitting your head against a brick wall. But we desperately need more support from world rugby, I believe. I don't think Oceania Rugby is doing much personally. When I look at that vehicle, I don't see that they're contributing much to the development of the game, and particularly Samoa and Tonga, and I'm not seeing anything of any significance coming out of all the funding that's spent on Oceania Rugby, and I'm not the only one. There's a lot of us looking at that going, surely a vehicle like that should be doing more.
If Manu Samoa, as we hope, get the job done in Dubai, they beat the Belgians and qualify for the World Cup, is that the point when you have the security of knowing that the team is going to the World Cup and that presumably all their players will be available for that tournament, that will be the window to perhaps ramp up the pressure on Oceania Rugby, on World Rugby, on anybody who can do more to sort out this situation in future years?
Absolutely. World Rugby is the greatest platform, and it's the most effective window to advocate, beat drums, hit the table, whatever you have to do. Could you imagine a world without Samoa and Tongan rugby? There's a battle for the hearts and minds of our young people. You look at Tau Samoa and Mati Matonga, they're amazing vehicles of empowerment and transformation, lifting of aspiration and hope for our people. We want Manu Samoa and Ikaletahi to be doing the same, and they've done that for many generations. But I think if rugby's not careful, before they know it, the world would have changed in terms of where Pacific Island rugby, in particular Samoa and Tonga, sit in world rugby's ecosystem. And good on the NRL, and good on Rugby League. Their product is fantastic and winning the hearts and minds of our people. And if our people see that rugby is shrugged its shoulder and it's in the too hard basket, you can't leave it in the too hard basket. You've got to find solutions. And I'm advocating that the powers that be talk with the people who are the stakeholders of our game, and we've got to find solutions, because before we know it, rugby's going to be playing second fiddle to Rugby League in Samoan Tonga, and I don't say that lightly. We can't let Samoan Tonga be left behind. It'd be to the detriment of the global game, I believe, and to societies that are so passionate about our beloved game.